We're going to look at conscience. What role does conscience play in our growing holiness as Christians? How do we calibrate our conscience with the Word of God? And how do we deal with a church when there's a kind of conflict in our consciences? When we feel differently about something, how do we love each other well across difference? There are a couple of reasons for doing that. One, I've been doing a bit of work recently helping churches that are kind of on the verge of going into schism, kind of splitting apart. And a lot of it is over conscience issues, not theological first order issues. The other part of it is I just think I've never heard any Bible teaching on conscience. And so I took some time a couple of years ago to spend 6 months doing loads of reading about it and delving into the Bible. And I'm kind of praying it will be helpful to you. We'll see. You can tell me at the end. Okay. If you've got a Bible, open it to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read that in just a second. But while you're turning to it, it's Friday night. You've had a busy week. A lot of you have had a really long journey to get here. The last thing you want to do is be made to work hard. But it's the only way I know to keep people awake. So you're going to help me out. You've got a green piece of card and a red piece of card. Okay. I'm going to give you some issues. If you think it's wrong for a Christian to do, hold up the red piece of card. If you think it's right for a Christian to do, hold up the green piece of card. Okay? And let me say, I'm not doing this because you're not my church and I haven't got to pick up the pieces. We did this with our church as well. Okay? I think you don't have to hold it up really high. If you're a bit, I'm just going to do that. Okay? That's fine. Right. Are you ready? Eating meat. Green or red? Is it something okay to do or something wrong to do? Right. Okay. Pop them down. Using somebody else's Netflix login who doesn't live with you. I'm not even looking. Okay, right, put them down. Drinking alcohol. Okay. Breaking the speed limit. Now I am going to look. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Okay. Okay. Ready? Shopping on a Sunday. I know I've stepped on a landmine. Okay. Write them down. Ready? Getting a tattoo. Okay. Last one. You ready? I'm going to get political. Voting reform. Voting for reform. Now. Okay. Right. Pop them down. You don't need them anymore. It was just a way to get you thinking and get you kind of responding. Maybe later as we go through the week, you'll see what the answer is. Now, the interesting thing is not how you responded. The interesting thing is why you responded like that. What have been the things that has influenced you to believe they're right or wrong? Now, as a church, what we don't need to do is take an iron to our differences of conscience. I never use an iron because I want to protect the environment. That's my excuse for never ironing anything. Okay, but you know what an iron's like? You get something rumpled and you flatten it out. There is a danger in a church. We think we've got to do that. We've got to flatten out every difference of conscience so we're all robots and we all think the same. I think that's wrong and that's unhelpful. But how do we treat each other when we do differ in conscience? Let's read 1 Timothy. We're going to read 1 to 5. Let's hear the word of God. This is the inspired bit tonight. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculation rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So here's the scene. Timothy, as a young pastor, gets a hospital pass from Paul. He's sent to Ephesus, which is a church that has got all sorts of problems. Did you spot them, verse 3? There are people teaching false doctrine. There are people devoting themselves to endless myths and genealogies. It's just a church that is dividing. And that's really tragic, because when you read the letter to the Ephesian church, Paul describes them as God's masterpiece. Why? Because they're a church that is incredibly different and have different views on all sorts of things, but have become one man in Christ. They're no longer Jew and Gentile. They're no longer different in the way they think about the empire and the emperor and the politics. They're no longer different and divided, as society would say. The most important thing is that they are united in Jesus. But false teachers have come in, and it's like they've got a dirty handprint and they're smearing it all over God's masterpiece. And you would find it hard in the Ephesian church to see the unity the gospel creates, because they're all divided about all sorts of things. And they're falling out over all sorts of smaller things. Now, the problem in the church in Ephesus is a lack of awareness about what truths and doctrines they have to stand on as a church. Okay, and we're going to think about that this weekend. What are the things that we have to believe in order to be a Christian? There are then things that Christians, they're in the Bible, but Christians differ on because of a different interpretation of a Bible verse. And they're important for us for churches, but we wouldn't say that someone who doesn't believe what we believe isn't a Christian. And then there are things that are conscience issues, where I think Christians can hold different viewpoints. Okay. Now, the Spirit preserves this letter, 1 Timothy, because every church faces those dangers of falling out over things they shouldn't fall out on, of getting confused between what's a conscience issue, what's a debatable issue of interpretation, and what's something a church has to hold to. I think really tragically we've seen that in recent years, and not just in the States, but here. I remember, this is a while ago, isn't it? Do you remember the vote to leave the European Union? Do you remember that? I'm not bothered how you voted, but I do remember someone from a church we were previously in contacting me to tell me, Al, you can't be a Christian if that's how you're going to vote. Isn't that really interesting? Now, I think we're going to think about those kind of things. But look what Paul says Timothy's got to do to stop it. He's got to stop the teaching, verse 3. But what's the goal of that? Verse 5, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. Now, he's talking there about the goal is love. And by that love, he means that kind of agape love that is the love of God that we experience in Christ, that the Trinity have shown one another throughout eternity and lavish on God's people. It's the love that's seen in the incarnation of a creator, at the cross of a crucified Savior and the tomb of a risen victor. And it's a love that, because we experience it when we trust Jesus, takes root in us and overflows from us to one another. But do you notice where he says that love comes from? The goal of this command is love, which comes from three things. A pure heart is the first. What's a pure heart? It's a heart that's devoted to God and devoted to what God says is good. There are no mixed motives. It is utterly, utterly full of integrity. It just loves God and loves people. The second thing he says is a good conscience. What's a good conscience? It's where, as Christians, we instinctively think in line with God's word. It's not drifting into license or legalism, but it's where we instinctively think about what God's word says. And then the third one is a sincere, genuine, true faith in Jesus. Now, I think often we think about how we love other Christians and how we love God. I think often we think about the nature of our faith and holding on to our faith. I don't think I very often have particularly thought about what does it mean to have a good conscience. And I think a good conscience is the key to living a holy life. Now, that's what we're going to look at this weekend. And it matters, because we live in a cancel culture where if you say the wrong thing, no one will listen to you anymore. And that can come into the church really easily over matters of conscience. Let me tell you what biblically I think a conscience is. Our conscience is our God-given awareness of what is right or wrong in any given situation. Okay, it's our God-given awareness of what is right or wrong in any given situation. That's why you held up either the green card or the red card to those things. God gives everybody a conscience. The question we're going to think about is, how do we tune our conscience to be a good conscience? So tomorrow morning, we're going to look at our conscience in the fall. What are the ways our conscience can go bad? And how do we deal with that? Then we're going to look at how we have a good conscience. How do you retune your conscience to be in line with God's word where it isn't? And then on Sunday morning, we're going to look at how do we handle conflicts of conscience in a church family? They're the three things. And the idea of looking at them is so that we can grow in what Paul says the Ephesian church needs to grow in. So that they can grow in their love for God and love expressed to one another in a church family that overflows out into the world. So that's the plan. There will be quite a lot of thinking. There may be things you disagree with me. Come back and have conversations. We will think about, if you have a particular conscience issue you want me to think about, let me know what it is. I'm not saying we'll have time for all of them, but I've deliberately left a slot in two of the sessions where I can add or drop in 10 minutes to think about a particular conscience issue you'd like us to think about. Okay? So that's the plan. That's where we're going.